Hello and welcome to the Dr. Nyman Show. Today is Sunday, December 27th, 2020. For the latest on the SARS-CoV-2 pandemic, we now turn to Dr. Henry Nyman.
Okay, thanks, Ryan. I'm pretty much going to be focusing on the variants because they're and the sequences that are being deposited. They're coming up at a pretty good clip. And I started a map to show where all the sequences are. And so I've been focusing on that. I've been kind of waiting for the sequence to put them on the map because some of these that are cited in the media as being variants don't seem to be, they're really not variants. They're basically the Italian strain with one change additional in the spike gene, and then it's called a variant because that one change happens to be one of the nine other changes that are seen in the variants. So they're a long way from being the variant. And so I pretty much am waiting for the sequences to show up. Now, there are quite a few that are in media reports that look to be pretty credible. And they really are going to end up being the virus, but with the map, they're labeled, what the virus name was when they were collected. And usually there's, semi-reliable information based upon where the collecting lab is or where the submitting lab is, or sometimes they include the age and gender. And give some more specifics on the exact location so the map can be a little bit more accurate. But ones that aren't at GeneBank or GSAT yet include two more cases in Canada. And so there's a case in Ottawa, and there's a case which is in Ontario, and then there's a case in British Columbia. And then there's an update on the two cases that are just outside of Toronto. When they were doing follow-ups on contacts, they found that one of their contacts actually had traveled to the UK. So all of them are to some degree linked to the UK. There's a couple that had a contact that was from the UK, and it's not really clear what the time interval was or how many other people might have been affected by the contact or whether the contact is still positive. So it indicates it's not quite as bad as it sounded yesterday, that they have no idea how they got infected. Now there's a pretty good indication on how they got infected, but the details haven't been made public. So that's still a little bit outside. The other two, I believe, were both recent arrivals. So I think they were both screened via flying. They were screened at the airport somehow. I think you're supposed to fill out reports in quarantine and tell people where you are and maybe give a sample. I don't know. So now it's really up to four cases. None of the sequences are submitted yet, so I haven't added any of them to the map. But that's got some implications, and that is that, they've all kind of showed up recently. I looked at what Canada was depositing at GSAT, and even though they recently deposited sequences just a few days ago, they just put in a big batch on the 24th. The most recent sequence from that, other than a few mink sequences, was November, I think, 22nd or 24th. So those collection dates are a little bit earlier than than what seems to be showing up now, that most of the positives that are showing up have been in collected in December or like the last day of November or so. So those collection dates are fairly recent, and the number of sequences that are from December is fairly limited. So it might sound like, well, we just sent in 500 sequences, but it could be there are 500 older sequences, and the chance of them being positive from the recent outbreak in the UK is not that high, because the outbreak just started a couple of months ago. And it's got to go from the UK to whatever country is supposed to be importing it. And then when they were initially coming in, I don't know, they were collecting samples. So there's a lot of reasons why they're negative on just the surveillance, that they're short on collecting samples or getting to the samples that are collected in December, which apparently is the most likely source. But the map is growing. It's growing pretty quickly. Today, there were five more samples from Italy. There was one from Madrid, Spain. There were three from Israel. And then there were two from Switzerland. And the two from Switzerland actually aren't the UK variant. They're actually the South African variant. And there was a report that just came out from the lab that seems to indicate that one of the sequences is in Switzerland, but the other one apparently is in France. And so, to date, there are only three sequences outside of South Africa. And there's about 500 sequences from South Africa, but there's three outside, one of which was in the UK, and they didn't get real specific on the location there, but the lab that did the sequencing is just outside of Manchester. So there's a good chance that this case is close to Manchester, whereas the other case that's been mentioned in media reports is in London, and that one hasn't been submitted yet. There's three sequences, and the three sequences may very well represent the presence of the virus in three different countries. One is England, the other is Switzerland, and the third is France. And then the Swiss lab seemed to indicate that they had three more sequences that were the UK strain, and that they were, I assume they were being submitted, because then they said there were about 500 other ones that weren't variants, and they were sequencing them, and there were several hundred from Switzerland that were submitted today, and I think it's tonight, so they may still be uploading those, and the other three UK variants may end up showing up. But I wanted to go over a little bit what is on the, what is in the sequence. I mean, all of these sequences are really pretty much the entire 30,000 nucleotides in the genome of the virus. And sometimes there'll be a little note that says, it's only 99% accurate, that 1% of it, they still have, they just have nucleotide listed. They don't have which one it is. So there's little tiny regions that aren't complete, but most of them are pretty complete. And so because they've been fully sequenced, they've even started listing the individual mutations. So you can see the mutations, and you can see some of these that aren't in the variant category, how close they're getting. And some aren't really that close, but they're being called variants in the media. And, you know, there was a couple from Nigeria that had a change at position 681. It's a P change to an H. And that change is actually in the UK variant. But that was the only change they had other than the change is 614 because it's the Italian strain, but they're all the Italian strain. That's about all that's really circulating on new isolates now. That the Italian lineage took over the world, and so they all have the D614 gene. And but apart from that, yeah, the UK has nine other changes, and this isolate from Nigeria just has one of those nine. So it's not really that close. It's not really a variant. It's just the Italian strain and one spike change. And there are a lot of isolates that have one spike change, and some of them, a subset of them, actually have. The change is one of the nine that's in the variant that we're really looking at here. But the sequence really tells you which one it is. There, somebody on the internet was trying to say, "Well, how do you know the one from the South African clade was in the UK?" How do you know, or why wouldn't it just be the UK clade? And, you know, the answer is because the sequence says it's South African. And there are several things in common. Some are just kind of conceptual things, like they've got three deletions. Three amino acids are deleted from the spike, but they're not the same three amino acids. They're close. But there, so you can tell which one it is just by looking at those three amino acids, because they don't overlap. They one set, which is at 69, 70, and 45, is in the UK variant, and the other one at 242, 243, and 244 is what's in the South African one. So, I mean, you get all that information, so you really aren't going to confuse which is which. There's a couple additional receptor binding domains that the one from South Africa has. It's positions 417 and 484. And the isolates from the UK don't have those changes. But there are some things that are in common. There's the other change at 501. That's part of the reason they call it 501.V2, so it's the second variant with an issue with 501, and with 501, the N is changed to a Y, and they both have that same change, which is you know, interesting. And then they both have a three amino acid deletion in the MPS6. And in that case, it is the same deletion. So it's the same three positions that's deleted in both of them. And they're both the Italian strain. So, of course, they've got D614G change. But they're easy to distinguish. It's not that you're going to mix one up with the other, and it's not that you're going to mix up, you know, the South African with the one that's in Malaysia. Malaysia's got one change in addition to the one that's the Italian change, and they're calling that a variant also, but it's only got one, and that matches the South African, and it's the same thing with Nigeria. They've only got one, and it matches the UK one. So it's easy to see whether they've got the whole series of these other ones that they're calling variants don't have any deletion. So they kind of miss out on that. And the deletion, especially in the spike protein, is potentially a significant development because that could change the shape of the protein, and that could evade the immune response because most of the antibodies recognize the folded protein. And if you pull out like three different amino acids, it's going to be folded slightly differently, and then the contact positions aren't going to be in the exact same 3D space, and therefore the antibodies might not react all that well. There's some, you know, media myths in this area as to whether the these mutations are going to affect the vaccine, and some of the people that are commenting on it really, you know, they have no idea about what the mutations are. Some don't even know how many mutations. They kind of talk about it like it's a mutation. So they say, well, you know, it's only a small region, and the antibody, you know, they provide the immunity bind to multiple regions. So by taking one region out, it isn't going to make a big difference. And the problem is that it isn't one chain. There's 10 chains, and three of those 10 are actually deletions. And like I say, deletions can have a kind of a global effect that if you change the shape enough, that you can knock out multiple antibodies because whatever they're contacting isn't quite in the same position that they were before the deletion. So someone saying that it's not going to be a problem for the vaccine, you know, don't really know that. You have some reason to think that it is. I mean, there's some evidence that the deletion of position 69 and 70 impacts the antibody binding, and that's what's in the UK strain. So it is concerning, and some of the headlines that are being put out are very misleading at best, where AstraZeneca, if you recall, on their vaccine, one of them was 62%, the other was 70%. They were averaging it. And I think the CEO said, well, we've got that solved, and we'll be able to get the numbers close to what the others are reporting, which is 95%. And then I said, and then we're going to do some tests to see how well it works on the variant. So the answer is he has no idea whether these 10 changes are going to affect how well the vaccine's going to work, because he hasn't done the test. So he doesn't have any data. He actually says he doesn't have any data. But the headline is that AstraZeneca says that the vaccine will work on the variant. And he didn't say that. But that's exactly what the headline is. And so there's misinformation that until the data is generated, is not at all clear how big, if any, effect these various mutations are going to have on the success rate of the vaccine. I mean, there's concern. One of the concerns is that because they both have 501, that change, that they bind to the receptor more tightly. And therefore, they can get into the cells more efficiently, and therefore they can grow to higher viral loads. And you know, how well the vaccine works is somewhat dependent upon your viral load. If you get a lot of virus, the antibody that you have from the vaccine may not, you know, be robust enough to actually end off a high viral load attack, but a moderate or low viral load attack, it will. And so that just viral load alone can affect what the percent positive, which has nothing to do with how well the antibodies recognize the virus. That if you got more virus, then you'll put up, the virus will put up a bigger battle against the host. And that may be why children are going to the hospital, that the children were able to fend off the virus fairly well when it was the original strain, and that there's enough wiggle or whatever with these deletions and these other changes that are known to be associated with immunological escape, that they just don't work as well. So if you got more virus and the antibodies don't bind as well, you end up with an infection. And that's a vaccine failure with how they were, you know, scoring success or failure. They were just essentially saying if you were positive on the PCR test, you know, then those are the people they looked at and said, well, how many were from the placebo and how many were from the vaccine? And only 5% were from the vaccine. So they said the vaccine was 95% effective. But if you started with more virus, then you might get a PCR positive response, even if you kind of knock it down a little bit, but that would knock down the percentage. And if there's more virus there, knocking it down a little bit may not really, you know, carry the day. You'll just knock it down to the level of viral load that the ones that don't have all these changes produce. And so there's a lot of unanswered questions, most of which can be answered at least with some data. And then you can ask questions about the some data. Right now, there isn't any data. There's just media reports and misquotes. And so there's still a concern exactly how well this vaccine is going to work today. And then there's, you know, more concern on how well the vaccine is going to work tomorrow, both as to how enduring the antibodies are and how stable the virus is. And I think that the variants that are circulating indicate that that's not stable. The virus has no problem recombining and evolving, and that's part of the reason you got, you know, a couple of these changes in common on two different variants, is they kind of are picking and changing. They're swapping out some for others, and they're picking the ones that work the best, so they both end up having 501 changed, and they, you know, all got this 614. 614 alone was able to conquer the world, essentially, outcompete all the other clades that were out there. So virtually everything today has got D614 changed to a G. And so the variants could be a serious problem, both for the vaccine and for the fact that it seems to grow at higher viral loads, transmits more efficiently, and seems to be able to infect children. So it's a formidable problem, and that problem's getting worse. I mean, I don't remember what it was. It was millions of people traveled. I think it was 40 million or something over the Christmas holiday, and it's going to be more that are going to travel over New Year's, and still haven't fully recovered from Thanksgiving, and the deaths are probably just starting from Thanksgiving, and they'll go well into the New Year for that set of interactions from people traveling and visiting, and so there'll be another batch from Christmas and another batch from New Year's, and then it'll be really cold out and people spend more time inside and their virus will be floating all over the place. So the bottom line is there's now four different people in Canada that have the variant. There's some indication that there are some other suspect ones that are being tested. And the U.S. still doesn't have any, and I don't think that more people fly from the U.K. to Canada than the U.S. Or with the COVID, I don't know what those numbers are at the tip of my fingertips here. So Yeah, but I would think that the U.S. is a lot bigger than Canada, at least as far as number of big cities, not necessarily how big the land is, but I mean, most of it's pretty cold, so people aren't, you know, flying to northern Canada from London, you know, there. So in any event, I'm sure there are cases here. The longer it goes without getting them identified, as speaks volumes about surveillance on how bad it is. And you can see how bad it is by just looking at how many sequences from December are in the database. And there really aren't that many from the U.S. and there really aren't that many from Canada. And Canada's already got four positives and other suspects. And the same thing's happening in Europe, that some of these new ones are people that are identified through some enhanced screening, but it hasn't been that enhanced. And so there's going to be a whole wave of December isolates that are going to be sequenced. And I think there's going to be a whole wave of variants that are already in these countries. And in some cases, they got both of them. I mean, that's the case now for, you believe that one case is over in France. France has both, and Switzerland has both, and the UK has both. And if people are flying out of South Africa up to Switzerland and the UK, they're probably going to a lot of other European countries. And I don't know, maybe some are going to the U.S. I don't know how much comes from South Africa. But I'm sure, since there already are examples in two countries, that more people are doing that and flying there. And are going to create additional topics. So, in any event, the numbers for the cases is very, you know, skewed by the holiday, and weekends are always kind of on the low side, and Mondays are also usually low, and then some of these places haven't really been doing much on Thursday or Friday. So the numbers are on the low side. It's not clear whether they're going to be really high next week or whether they're low because people are not running the testing facility, so the testing's gone down over the holiday, and so a lot of these cases are just gonna kind of fall through the cracks there. But the deaths, I would assume, eventually will just caught up, and so the deaths may be significantly high next week, in part because they've been kind of low over the holidays. But I expect the variant reporting to go very high. I mean, as far as depositing samples, there's quite a few that there's Norway and Sweden and Germany and Brussels. And then the report recently was Switzerland. And there are other locations in Italy that are all reported in the media. And some of these have increased. That Israel, I think, was up to six. Now they added three more, so they got four out of the six deposited. But it's like... I think some of the reports said that Denmark was up to 33, and I think only about eight from Denmark are deposited. And so the reports indicate that there's quite a few more that are there. The labs have been pretty good about submitting the total number of sequences. It's approaching 300,000. It's 290-something. It's over 295, actually. So I think it'll hit 300,000. It'll definitely hit 300,000 next week. It might hit 300,000 tomorrow. And And the number of variant sequences are pretty high. There's over 4,000 variant sequences. The vast majority, of course, are from the UK for that variant. And then there's about 400, 400 or 500 from South Africa, and then just a handful, like three, a small handful, are currently in the database, but there may be more to come on that front. So I think it's going to be a busy week as far as how many variants there are, coupled with how many new locations. I think Portugal, Mallorca, I think the island that they own, has got a positive. And like I said, they did do Spain today. So there's one from Spain, but there's one from France. But I would expect Spain and France to have a lot more than one. And so those numbers are going to go up. And there's a bunch of countries that there hasn't been any real media reports and there hasn't really been any cases. But, you know, people fly in and you would think there's more. I think there were five reported in Australia, and of which three are in the database. So the database should continue to get new sequences. Reports will continue to go up. And I would think by the end of the year, which is not that many days away, that the U.S. would come up with a few positives. I'm sure it's in the U.S. I'm not sure how the U.S. is going to compare to Canada, but I would think the U.S. is higher than Canada. And Canada's at 4 and counting because they've got other samples that they are still working on. And then they've kind of, with the Ontario, they've kind of indicated that they had one of their contacts had been to the UK. It might be their source. And so if that contact still got detectable virus, that would be another positive. And it would be likely that that person affected quite a few other people in Canada. And so I'm sure there's a bunch that have slipped through the crack there. And there'd be a lot that, fall through the cracks here, because I don't know how much follow-up there is at all. They're talking about getting a test before you can fly back. You got to have a negative within 3 days, but you could be infected 5 days before your flight and generate a negative 3 days before, and you might not develop symptoms until 2 or 3 days after you arrive. And if it's anything like that or longer, you might assume that you got affected by somebody in the United States, and it's not that big a deal. So I think the variants will spread. If they spread a lot, which they very well may, because they, one of their characteristics is to be able to transmit more easily, and you've got them in both variants in the same country, I would think there could be more mixing and matching, and especially some of these mutations are in common, so they've got extensive pieces of identity, and that's what helps recombining, where you start using one template and then it jumps off and lands on another template, and there's a lot, the two templates are very similar, then it makes it easier, and then you start copying the other template and discussing differences, then you end up with a recombinant. You got one set of data from one parent, and then you got another data set from another parent, and the recombinant has a little bit of both. So anyway, we'll keep these going pretty much on a daily basis. I'm sure there'll be a lot more variants, and maybe results will start to leak out by the end of the year on how these vaccines are doing, either because they unmasked some, although it sounded to me like AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson are probably not going to have data until the beginning of next year, which is just a week away. But so I don't know about anything coming up this week on that regard. But if they are getting more data and unmasking more patients, there may be some differences in the effectiveness rate in a place like the UK, where there's definitely a lot of the variant. And that would be a clue, and they should be able to set up a test to see how well it actually, how well the vaccine neutralizes the variants. And so we'll keep you posted. There'll be a lot of news, and it's definitely in North America, and it's definitely getting higher on reported cases, and I'm sure it's getting higher on unreported cases. So that's it for tonight.
Thank you for the information. That's it for this edition. Listeners, please go to reconyx.co for the latest information, and we will continue to do these as the situation unfolds. Thanks for listening.